following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
How's it going, Refuge family? It's David here for today's Refuge Daily, taking you guys out into our courtyard area. You guys all know, this area. And I just wanted to share with you something that's been on my heart. I've been going through this with the students, and I say this a lot, for the past couple of months for youth ministry on Wednesdays or midweeks, we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And for anybody that's read through the Sermon on the Mount, you know that there's a ton of stuff in there, tons of truth, tons of amazing things. And really, it's been regarded as one of Jesus's greatest sermons he's ever given. And so in smack dab in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus transitions from talking about, you know, many things, and he transitions into talking about prayer and how we should be conducting ourselves in prayer. And I'm going to read this. It starts from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, you all, if you've been, you know, walking with the Lord for a while, you all have read this passage before. Maybe many of you grew up learning this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It's been titled, or the Disciples' Prayer, it's been called as well. But something I find so interesting about this prayer that Jesus lists out for us is really a prayer that is all-encompassing. I mean, it hits on almost every area that you can think of. You talk about in the very beginning, our Father in heaven. So we're acknowledging that God isn't just some distant force, but he is personal creator, right? He's hallowed. He is holy. His name is set apart. It's utterly different than ours, right? He is different. He's above. He is higher. And then when Jesus says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," he's not necessarily asking us to pray and say, "God, would you bring a physical location down here?" But in the same way Jesus said, "You rule and reign in creation, would you start ruling and reigning in the hearts of men here? Would your kingdom come, right? Would that kingdom reality be a reality in the hearts and minds of people today? Would they see you as king? Would they act daily as you, would they act daily as if you were their rightful king of their lives? And give us today, God, would you provide for us today? Would you give us the trust that we need to know and realize that you're going to provide for us tomorrow as well? And Lord, would you forgive us as we forgive those who have wronged us, because we know that we have been forgiven? And lead us not into temptation. God, we know that without you, apart from you, we are a mess. Jesus, we need you to intervene now. We need you to intervene tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Apart from you, we will give in to these things. So lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, one of the things that I was telling the students that was convicting, you know, for me, and maybe you guys as well, I think depending upon how long you've been walking with the Lord, man, I hope none of us get to a point where we're like, "Man, my prayer life is the best. It's the top, and it's never going to get better." Or I hope we never say, "Man, I'm so close to Jesus, I hit the top," right? I'm never going to get closer in a sense. I hope we're always at a place where we want to go deeper with the Lord. We want our prayer life to be fuller, to mean more. And man, I was just hit with this, like, God, like, I want prayer to be more a part of my life. Not that I don't pray, because I do pray, but God, I want to commune with you more. You know, it's been said by many people that prayer is like oxygen for the believer. Like, you can't live without it, right? If prayer is communicating to and with God, speaking to Him, conveying our deepest heartfelt emotions and thoughts, not that He needs to hear those things because He already knows these things. Psalm 139 says that, but He desires to hear from us anyways. And so if prayer is one of those areas in which we get to communicate with God and talk with God, it's a massive part of our faith. You got to think, if you're married, or if you're in any relationship or have any friends at all, and if you say, man, I love this person, but I just don't talk with them, like, ever. Or I only talk with them because I know I have to talk with them to maintain a relationship. It's like, what kind of relationship is that? You know what I mean? What kind of relationship is that? And so I've been convicted. It's like, Jesus, I want to commune with you more. God, I want to know your heart more. I need you. You know, I'm reading a book with one of my buddies from Northern Ireland when we got to take the students on a mission trip to see the Johnstons up in Northern Ireland. I met this guy named Clifford, and we connected. He's a youth pastor, and so we still keep in touch, and he's an awesome dude, awesome brother. I love that guy. And we are going through a book together. It's by Timothy Keller, and it's called Prayer, and it's a big book. And something I found so interesting at the very beginning of this book, as he was talking about prayer, is he said, I have never come across anything in life that's good that is also easy. Therefore, prayer must be one of the hardest things to do. And I was like, that is very interesting for him to start the book off that way. And really, there was just an acknowledgement on his end of going, listen, prayer at the heart of it, right? It's talking to God. It's also a spiritual exercise, a spiritual activity. And like every other spiritual practice or spiritual habit that we find in the Bible, it takes dying to yourself. Prayer takes dying to yourself, slowing down, not thinking of yourself really, and really just going, God, I want to talk with you, and I want my heart to be realigned with reality, with the way things are. And I love that he started with that. You know, he even said, maybe you read this and that gives you hope. And really, he was just saying, there's a starting point, right? Just go to the Lord, acknowledge, go back to this spot in Matthew chapter 6, and you don't need to recite it, but really, Jesus just lists out, here's an all-encompassing prayer. Why don't you start by pausing and acknowledging that, look up, go outside and look up and say, the sky, the clouds, the stars, everything that I'm seeing wasn't just created by a God, but it is being sustained currently by this God. And apart from him sustaining these things, everything would go into disorder and chaos. This God is not distant. It's not a force. It's not like electricity, right? He is a person, and he is personal, and he loves you. Start your prayers off that way. Lord, thank you for being God. You are holy. You are so much higher and greater and so far past finding out and fully understanding, right? Thank you for giving us enough to understand you, but you are massive, right? And you start off praying like that, and then you kind of go down the list, and God, help me. Would you provide for me? God, would you forgive me as I forgive other people? Would you, you know, like, and you just go through all of that. You pray for the Lord's will to be done instead of your will to be done. And anyways, I have found this to be encouraging for me, and this is literally just what the doctor ordered for me at this current time in my life right now, just a reorienting myself around prayer and understanding that more than a want, it is a need. And I hope that we want prayer and we desire prayer, but it will always be more of a necessity for us. Again, it's like the oxygen for the believer. And so, Refuge family, my encouragement for you guys, spend time with your Father today in prayer. He knows the things you're dealing with. He knows to the extent in which you're dealing with them. So he's not wanting you to come and talk to him because he needs to know. He needs to be let in on it. That's loud. but he wants to hear from you. And so spend time today in prayer with your Father. Refuge family, I love you. We'll see you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life